We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. This is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm Monica Lovell over here in the driver's seat. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad. And our guest, Pastor Tim Patterson, could not be here this morning. Praise report, he started a job this morning at 8 o'clock. So we have a pre-recording for y'all today from Pastor Tim. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can put it in the comments and you can send it in a private message. We'll do our best to get it on paper and then we'll pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts and we'll do our best to get that posted shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor for today is Drew's Plumbing and Cooling, located in Corn, Oklahoma. For all of your plumbing and cooling and heating needs, contact Drew's. They are a company that cares. Okay, y'all. We are going to do our best to get this going. Let me start this over again. Okay. This is a pre-recording from Pastor Tim Patterson. The title is Living in the Light of His Kingdom. And I'm gonna go ahead and say a little prayer this morning before we get it started. Father God, I just thank you for being who you are. I thank you for your only Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our Redeemer. I thank you for your Holy Spirit who lives within us, who leads, guides, directs, and corrects. In the name of Jesus, I ask that you give your people ears to hear, eyes to see, and an open, teachable heart. In Jesus' name, we give this hour to you. It is your hour, Lord. We ask that you dispatch your angels to hand deliver your words to the hearts of your people. This is your hour, Lord. Do with it what you will. In Jesus' name, we love you. Amen.
Well, good morning. I hope you're having a great Sunday, and we're looking forward to getting to speak the word to you today. Apologize for the delay, had some technical difficulties, but let us pray first before we get into the word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the privilege that we have to be able to have a means of still connecting with your word, even though we can't be together in person today. We ask that you bless the teaching of your word. We ask that you be with those that have been exposed. Let them not get sick. And those that are sick, help them to become well, Lord. We ask for your will to be accomplished in our lives. Let your word come alive to us today as we start back up on our talking about walking in the light of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning, if you're on Facebook and you can see us, just go ahead and hit a heart or a thumbs up. Feel free to comment anytime. You know, the more you amen me, the shorter this video will be. Want to just recap real quick what we talked about last week as far as living in the light of His kingdom, our first part, as we started in Ephesians chapter 5 and really Paul's writing. But when we talk about the kingdom, and we talk about living in the light of His kingdom, there's four words that really came to mind as we read Ephesians 5 and then Matthew chapter 6 and the Lord's Prayer there in verses 9 through 13 was the walk, wisdom, his will, and his kingdom. And so our first focus last week was the walk of the Christian, and we got through a little ways there. I'm going to finish talking about the walk of the Christian here this morning. And but let me recap a little bit about what we talked about last week on the walk. When Paul wrote to the Ephesians church, it was clear he was concerned about their walk. He mentioned their walk and how they ought to walk 6 times in the book of Ephesians alone. And in chapter number 2 and verse 10, he told them to walk in good works, understanding that we do not do good works to be saved, but we do good works because we are saved. Our benevolence towards our fellow man is a byproduct of us receiving the salvation of the Lord, of us receiving his goodness and his grace and mercy that we did not deserve. And like as a result, we desire to walk in good works to those around us, even those that may despise us, may despitefully use us. It is important for us to understand that we have a responsibility as Christians to walk in good works. What a testimony it is when you will go the extra mile for someone that you know wouldn't go the extra mile for you. When Jesus told them, when a man asks you to go with him a mile, go with him two, he was referring to, at that time, the Roman soldiers could commission, basically, or command, rather, a Jew to take their pack and carry it a mile, that by law they were required to carry it a mile. And Jesus told them, go ahead and carry it another mile for them. And these were people that they weren't known for treating them well, but he said, go ahead and go that extra mile for them. What a contrary thought that is to our mind, to go an extra mile for someone who wouldn't even go a half mile for us. But he tells us, Paul encourages us to walk in good works. But in 4 and 1, he also tells us in Ephesians, there in 4 and verse 1, to walk worthy of your profession. Are you walking what you're talking? Are you living out what you say you believe? If a person is a bricklayer, there's some things that we expect to see about that individual. When we see them in town and they're in their work clothes, we're probably going to see mortar on their jeans, probably on their shirt, possibly occasionally. They're going to have some very calloused hands. Likely they're going to be very tanned from working outside in the heat so often. And they are identifying marks of his profession. When you see a surgeon, my wife's a doctor, oftentimes you see a surgeon, you'll see them come out of the surgery room or prepping for surgery. They're in their scrubs. They've got covers over their shoes. They are masked up. They've got gloves on. They're always ready. They're prepared to go into surgery at any time. So they've got their scrubs ready, surgery scheduled, they go in, they scrub up, put their gloves on, get a new mask on, get their feet covered, and they're ready to go. That they have identifying marks of their profession. You know who they are, a police officer. They dress in their uniform to protect and to serve as an identifier for those that when you're in trouble, you can go to a police officer and get help. And to dress in a way of a police officer or a military personnel without actually being a military personnel or a police officer, impersonating them, is a crime and is punishable by even prison time and fines, if I'm not mistaken. And so he's telling us, walk worthy of your profession. If you say you're a Christian, then walk like a Christian. Be one. Let your character portray what you say you are. If you say you're a Christian, then be honest in your business dealings with other people. If you say you're a Christian, then respect your fellow man. Don't be demeaning. Don't talk bad to, don't talk down to them. Respect them. Be honorable in all things. Be the first to be a person of excellence. Show those things forth in your Christian walk, walking worthy of your profession, and not just on an outward stance of honesty and different things of that nature, but in your the way you talk. Does it edify? Does it show forth that you are speaking things that are edifying and glorifying to God, or are you speaking in ways that you'd hate for your mama to hear? If mama would hate to hear it, you can guarantee God would hate to hear it. So walking worthy of your profession, but also in 4 and 17, last week we talked about walking not as the world. Walking differently. The church is different. We are a peculiar people, set apart. We're a royal priesthood. Our lives are different. Our worldview is different. Our morals, our ethics are different because we are not of this world. We are in it, not of it. We are not to walk as the world walks. We ought to be, the world is in a lot of chaos and confusion, but we ought to be walking in peace and in the power of His might, walking in love, and that's really where Paul gets to us in Ephesians 5 and 2, and he tells us that we are to walk in love. And that's where we're going to start out today. Walk in love as Christ has also loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Now, you want to know how to know you're walking in love? Well, the best way you can know if you're walking in love is go to 1 Corinthians 13, and I believe it's going to be verse 4 is where we'll start for the sake of time. But 1 Corinthians 13 tells us what love looks like and what it is to love somebody. So let me just give you a definition that Vodi Bocum used that has stuck with me over the years. And he says, love is an act of the will accompanied by emotion that leads to action on the object of its affection. Now, let me say it again. Love is an act of the will accompanied by emotion that leads to action on the behalf of the object of its affection. Now, so love doesn't just happen. Love is an act. It is a conscious act. Love is a verb. Love is what is something you do, not something you feel. Oftentimes, we want to think of love as an emotion. Oh, I just can't help it. I just love them. No, you love whom you will to love. Emotions should not dictate how we love someone. If anything, love should dictate our emotions. And this is why I say that. 1 Corinthians 4 or 13 and verse number 4, he tells us what love does and what love is. So this is what love does. Genuine Christian godly love, walking in love, this is what it looks like. First thing he said, it suffereth long. It is long suffering. It will endure trial. It will endure testing. It will be patient. It will love even in the midst of situations that are testing and daunting on an individual. Love will endure those things. A husband and wife enduring hardship together, a trial together, looking at it side by side, standing side by side, and facing the storm that they're about to go through together, rather than facing one another and thinking that storm being in the middle of them, but by facing one another in a metaphorical term, not physically, but that storm comes between them, and before you know it, they are separated in their connection, and their love begins to subside. But when they stand side by side and the storm comes, those two that God created and made into one, and made them to be a beacon of what the relationship of God with His church looks like. Love is long-suffering. It will endure even in situations where things get frustrating. You know, when you first get married and somebody just can't seem to get the toilet paper roll on the right way, it's still, you love that person, that just drives you crazy, but you know what? You love them enough, you're just going to fix the toilet paper and go on. Love is long-suffering. But not only is love long-suffering, does it suffer long, but love is kind. If you love somebody, you will talk in a way that is kind to them. If you love someone, you don't demean them, you don't berate them, you are not rude and mean to them. I understand, I jest a lot, I'm a joker. I try to be careful about that because I don't want to offend anybody. But if you know, I'm going to tell you, don't sit and say you love somebody and turn around and talk to them in a way that you demean them. You really want to just get on my pet peeves, I guess you could say, is talking badly about your children. Those are a blessing from the Lord. And they will remember the little things you say. Those things you say in a moment of frustration, be careful, because they may forget everything else good that you've ever said. Love is kind. Now, we get frustrated, I understand. But that's when we say, wait a minute, let me bring this into that walking in love. Is what I'm about to say edifying? Is it going to help? Constructive criticism is a good thing, and it can be done kindly. All right, so love is kind. But not only does love behave itself kindly, but it doesn't envy. It doesn't get upset when somebody else gets blessed. It gets happy for them. It encourages them. It rejoices with them. But also love does not vaunteth itself and is not puffed up. Love is not prideful. When you love somebody, you will get somehow, when we love somebody, if we really love them, we'll put ourselves aside for the sake of helping them be better. And when two people, when a church, when a marriage, let's go a marriage, when two people love one another and set themselves aside because they are more concerned about you being better than they are about their own wants, they want to help you become a better you in Christ, and they likewise want to help you become a better you in Christ. The two become that, when that begins to happen, and you're not prideful and you humble yourself, that begins to bring you together in such a way that God's in the midst of that, and it can't be broken, because it's not about you anymore. It's, you know, husbands, when your wife does well, guess what? You're doing well. Because the two shall become one. So when she's doing well spiritually, she's helping you do well spiritually. And when you're down and she's doing well spiritually, she's lifting you up. When you're down a little spiritually, emotionally, and she's lifting you up, or vice versa. It seems that that's the case, because you are concerned about one another, not about yourself. Love is selfless. There is not room for pride and selfishness in a loving relationship. Now, that's dealing with marriage, but let's talk about the church for a moment. He's dealing with the church. A group of people coming together, and they're more concerned about, I want to see my brother grow in God. I want to see my sister grow in God. I'm going to pray for them. It's not about me. It's about God and His kingdom and us furthering it together. When that begins to happen, you begin to see a unity that begins to take place. As a group of people coming from different walks of life come together, just like they did when they were building the temple, there was a stone that was not, that they brought those stones from all over the place, but they began to put those together, and it became for one express purpose, for the tabernacling and for the presence of a holy God, to be a place for him to dwell. And when a group of people from different walks of life begin to set themselves aside, that and begin to put one another first and God first, they are now building up a way for them to become where they are a part of God's kingdom. And that their goal is to exalt him and to further his kingdom. They become kingdom-minded. Love, Christian love, walking in love, is kingdom-minded. It's about God's glory is at the heart of the walk of the Christian. But not only do they set pride aside, but it doesn't behave itself unseemly. Love, when you love somebody, when they fail, your first response ought not be, let me go tell the world what so-and-so just did. Our first response, when we love somebody, they fail, we go to God in prayer for them. Secondly, we go to them, we talk to them, we love them, we try to be there for them. We go to them in the spirit of meekness. If rebuke is needed, then so be it. But we do it in a way that it is for, we're not there to set them straight. We're there to help make them better. We're not coming in our own selfish righteousness. We're coming humbly. We're coming in that spirit of meekness because we realize we could be in the same boat that they are. So love does not behave itself unseemly. And if you love somebody, you will not gossip about them. And if you love some people, if you love someone, if you love the people of God, the last thing you want to be is a fault finder. Fault finding is not a spiritual gift. I know some people think it's like discernment or something, but going around finding faults in everybody and being able to pinpoint every little thing and nitpicking is not a spiritual gift. And you are hurting the church, and you're hurting your relationship with the church and with God when you do that. If you're going to pick every little thing apart, that's not love. And that is not behaving yourself in a way that is glorifying God. But not only does it not behave itself unseemly, but it does not seek its own. We already talked about selflessness. Love is selfless. It is when you just, it is not about you anymore. It's about God and his kingdom and his people and us coming together and being better for the glory of God, for the furthering of his kingdom. If I'm walking in love, then I'm going to be willing to give of myself, and it's not for selfish gain. When I do something for you, if I love you, I'm not doing it so you give me something in return. That is walking in love. It's not so I get something in return. But not only does it not seek its own, but it is not easily provoked. And when we begin to look at this, not easily provoked, we are not to be a people soon given to anger. We are not to be a people that just fly off the handle. If we are, we're not walking in love. The walk of the Christian ought to be signified by an individual being able to keep themselves in their spirit under subjection. Better is a man that ruleth his spirit than a man that can take a city. It is crucial for us. Men, we're known. We have tempers. We really do. And I know it's on both sides. There's tempers. But men, we've got to be careful about letting our temper get a hold of us. And ladies, be careful about it too. But men, I'm going to talk to us for a minute. When we get upset, do not, you go scream at the cows outside, I don't care, but don't take it out on your wife or your children. There is no place for that. And walking in love, if you are a Christian, the last people that ought to be hearing you getting angry and upset like that, I know our children see us on our worst days, but if you are tempted to be demeaning and angry or even physical, you go on out to the barn, you get a hold of that spirit, and you pray it through. Okay? That is walking in love, is we don't just fly off the handle. And the Bible is very plain about that. That there is no place for that in us. And don't just go shooting off the mouth either about when don't get naggy and bitter. Don't go doing all that. Just take it to the Lord in prayer. If you love them, you're not going to fly off the handle. You go do your, cool off a little bit and then discuss it civilly. Is the best option there. If you're and that's in a marriage, and that's even in us as a church relationally, it's important, all right? And then walking in love also includes thinketh no evil. If you love somebody, you don't just jump to the worst conclusion about them, all right? Somebody does something and it hurts your feelings. Maybe they say something and it hurts your feelings. Maybe it hits where you're living. I don't know. Don't just dismiss that and say, well, they did that on purpose and they meant to hurt me. And you know what? I just don't want to have anything to do with them anymore. If you know that person, you know their heart, you know their character, that's not generally their response. That's not normally what they do. Give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they're having a bad day. You know, you're not rainbows and tulips every day either. Sometimes you're a little prickly and you get cranky and hangry too. Give some grace to one another. Walking in love means we don't just assume the worst about one another. We give each other the benefit of the doubt. I gotta hurry. But also, it says, it rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. If you're walking in love, there will be times when you walk in love, truth is going to be it's crucial to know the truth. It will set you free. And when you're walking in love, there's been this misconception that tolerance of everything is love. That is not love. If I have a child misbehaving, causing havoc, acting like a little hooligan, and I say, well, I'm not going to deal with that. I'm not going to approach it. I'm not going to correct it. I just love them too much. Do I really love them? No, I don't. I'm neglecting my child. I'm neglecting my responsibility. That is emotional and spiritual developmental neglect on my part as a father. And so when we see a brother or a sister that is doing something contrary to his word, and we never deal with it, we never talk to them about it, we don't go to them in the spirit of meekness, do we really love them? No. But truth hurts sometimes. Now, let me say this, because it's something that it really gets on my nerves, to be honest with you. People always will say this, well, the truth hurts. Yes, the truth does hurt oftentimes. It does. But when we speak the truth and it hurts, let it be with the intention of hurting to heal as it is with the surgeon with the scalpel. When he takes that scalpel and cuts skillfully to remove something that can hurt the individual and is detrimental to the well-being of that individual, let that be the heart that we have when speaking truth. It is hurting as a means to heal, to remove that which can destroy you. But let it not be like Peter when he just picked up the sword and started swinging and cut off an ear. We don't just get blood on the blade because we can. We speak the truth because we want to help that person be better. If we're walking in love, we speak the truth to one another in an effort to help one another be better. And sometimes it hurts, but let it be with the intention of hurting to heal. Lastly, he says, charity it beareth all things, it believeth all things, and it hopeth all things, it endureth all things. Love will bear, and love will hope, and love will endure. Let us have that type of love as we walk in God, as we walk in Him, and go forward in Him. We could go even on into talking about what he wrote there in the book of Ephesians. Here in just a moment, he talked about, there's two other parts, but we've really covered a lot in walking in love. And I think we're going to stay right there today as just letting this be your question for this week is, am I walking in love? Am I truly loving my brothers in the Lord? Am I truly loving my sisters? Am I truly loving my wife the way I ought to be? Am I truly loving my children the way I ought to be? Am I loving in a way that I'm bearing them and I'm enduring and I'm offering hope and I'm speaking the truth to them in love and you know I'm even you know am I loving them where I'm being selfless and putting some things to the side that maybe I want to do, but I want to do those things that would help my wife more. Maybe there's something that would minister to my wife that is more important for me to go and do that with her than it is for me to do what I want to do. How am I loving? Is my love portraying Christ the way it ought to? Am I loving like Jesus would love? They always say you can take 1 Corinthians 13 and put Jesus where love's supposed to be, and it sounds pretty good. You know, Jesus suffereth long. Jesus is not puffed up. Jesus endureth all things. Jesus hopeth all things. They're just, so when we begin to walk in love, we'll find that we're trying to be more and more like Jesus every day. You must walk in Him. It's crucial. If we are going to walk in, if we're going to live in the light of His kingdom, we must first walk, we must walk worthy of our profession. We must walk not as this world, and we must walk in love. And unfortunately, the first one is leaving me at the moment, and my computer shut off on me. But as we walk in our living in the light of His kingdom, let it be that we walk worthy of our profession, and that when people see us, it's, man, I've never seen love like that. It's amazing the mark that true Christian love can leave on an individual. I'll say this story in closing. Back in Lawton, when we were there, and helping our, just being faithful there before I got married. And we had our homeless ministry and the prison ministry. And we had a man that we were bringing from the prison that I can't even remember his name now. Pastor Brandon, you might would remember. But he was known as being one of the meanest men in prison. And he came that night to service, and small church. We didn't have a fellowship hall at the time, but we felt God call us to the ministry of that, and so we were feeding people out of crock pots in the back Sunday school room. They were having to eat in the sanctuary, but I'll never forgot that he said, "I don't understand you people." He said, "Y'all are loving people like me, and I don't deserve it." Along those lines, and it made such a mark on that man, and to know that love, genuine Christian love, that is not fake and isn't just one that just tolerates everything, because that's not love, but a love that speaks the truth with the express intention of trying to help someone know God better and to be better, and loving them even when they don't love themselves, and loving them even when society has written them off. It is amazing what a little bit of love can do. Lord, help me to walk in love, because if I walk in love, it might just be that I help lead someone else to the kingdom. And we'll cover next week on walking in the light and walking as children of the light. And I look forward to getting to be with you on Sunday. Again, no service this Wednesday night. We'll reconvene on Sunday, Lord willing. And looking forward to seeing you all there. Lord, bless you today. Go with the Lord, and I hope that something today has been said that encourages you and helps you in your walk with the Lord. God bless you today.